Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is January 17th, 2017. I hope you appreciated the interview that we did yesterday with Charlotte Anthony. I ran that show on the heels of today's guest. We have back with us Mr. Chuck Heineman from Mid-America Land Restoration. That actually provides a service to provide you with those microbes. So thank you for joining us, Chuck. I really appreciate it. Oh, dear. Chuck, are you there? Well, it looks like the call got dropped again, folks. So let's do this. Let's give Chuck a call back. Thought we fixed that one, but I guess we didn't. So let's do it one more time. And I guess this is where the music comes in, but I'm not going to sing. I'll spare you that one. Let me just dial him right back in. And we'll see. We'll get him to join us again. Does look like the call was dropped. Looks like he wasn't really off. I can't really figure out where he's at. I have no idea. So let's see what happens here. Maybe we won't have Chuck on with us. I have no idea. Chuck, if you can call in, if you can hear us, the phone number is 718-717-8106. Doesn't look like we're getting Chuck either way. So let me give him this phone number. I'm going to send him a text. He was going to talk about the increasing rad rates that are just off the charts throughout the country. So let me give him that number. That's the number. Sorry about this slow start, folks. I didn't anticipate this. We have been able to connect with everybody so far. Let me see what we can do. Let me see if we can give him a call one more time. I'll dial that number one more time. So we'll do it. It's a little bit of a slow start, but it's what we have to do. We have to be persistent. You know what they say, perseverance brings success. So let's see what happens. Here he is. I believe that this is him. Okay, folks, well, let me just give this a try. That was Chuck trying to give us a call. He did try to give us a call, but I am going to do it again. This is very peculiar because he's the only person we haven't been able to connect with since We fixed the radio show. Doggone it, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say this was intentional. But I'm not going to say that. Let's see if we can get them on the line again. Let's see what happens here. Chuck, can you answer the phone? It looks like it's dialing from my end.
This is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, I think you're on the phone with us.
I'm back.
You're back. Well, thank you for this. You know what they say, perseverance brings success. So I want to thank you for joining us again, and I'd like you to share with our listeners what it was you were telling me about right before we got on the air. People don't even know what's going on around them because we're not being told. There's no warnings. The meltdowns will not be shared. So why don't you let our listeners know what's actually going on?
Well, as for some time now, been monitoring the different RAD numbers that are coming across, and I follow a lot of what Bob Nichols at Veterans Today is reporting, because he's using a combined number of beta and gamma, to where the EPA and everybody else is just watching the gamma. When you get the beta and the gamma, I feel we're getting a more true number to what's really going on. And with that said, the last readings that came out just this last Saturday morning, 1,610 counts per minute was Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I find kind of ironic considering the higher number should be in the higher elevation, not down in the breadbasket.
Mm.
Next city was Grand Junction, Colorado, at 1,585. And then Colorado Springs at 1,513. Then we jump out there by you guys to Spokane, Washington at 1,446.
Now, when you're saying 1,446, what type of radioactive contaminant is it? Does it tell us?
No. 1,446 counts per minute. Ironically, before all of this with the RAD started, we had a 5 to 20 was normal. Anything above 50 counts per minute was abnormal.
Wow.
Anything over 100 counts per minute was an alert or a warning. And at that point in time, anything over 300 counts per minute was known to be an evacuation / hazmat. And we're pushing 1,600, 1,500 counts per minute. That's Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1,610 counts per minute is 22 times normal.
Now, where do these come from? Those sound so outrageous. I'm just going to be frank with you, Chuck. It sounds so off the wall, super high. How are these being verified, and who is giving these rates?
Well, if you go over here and look at the EPA Air Quality RAD, all of the different readings over there, and they got to remember, those are just total gammas, gamma gross counts, and they're pushing anywhere from 7 to 10,000 counts per minute. And that's on the EPA side of just gamma.
Wow. So they're just not even warning us. They're just not even warning us. They're just like letting it be as super high as it can be.
And they're telling them, they keep changing the rule book, telling us it's before in the 50s when we started doing all the case studies of the results of nuclear, they determined there was no safe levels of radiation and that the stuff did not dilute in ocean water. Well, you go to fast forward to today and scientists, and guess what? Radiation is good for you. It's good for you in your water now because they've raised the radiation limits, and it does dilute. So, you know, I would almost bet that our scientists that started this in the 50s were probably more accurate in trying to give us more truth than what the boys today are getting, because I imagine today's scientists are doing 180 compared to the scientists of the 50s. I would have to say somebody's being paid off.
Oh, well, I think now what it is they just don't care. There's so much contamination that it's everywhere, everywhere.
And, like I said, we've got we jumped out to Raleigh, North Carolina, and then we jump right back into the breadbasket. Kearney, Nebraska, 1,342 counts. El Paso, Texas, at 1,295.
Wow.
Little Rock, Arkansas, is at 1,272. Dodge City, Kansas, is at 1,260. Georgia, Augusta, and Atlanta, Georgia are on the list. Augusta was at 1,215. Atlanta's at 1,202. Phoenix, Arizona's on the list at 1,202. Yuma, Arizona. Rapid City, South Dakota. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tucson, Arizona. Oklahoma City. Kansas City's on the list at 1,030 counts per minute. Corpus Christi, Texas. Clear down in South Texas, Corpus Christi made the list of 1,025 counts per minute.
And there's no way to know if this is from the radioactive contamination from Fukushima or other sites that are leaking or from active sites that they may be off-gassing or, I mean, it's really, we have no idea. There's absolutely no tracing any of it, is it?
They can trace it if they break it down to the bio level. Because every reactor has a different DNA tag to it. But at this point, it doesn't really do any good to spend that kind of money to figure out who's leaking where, because they're all leaking.
That's true enough. I saw a report yesterday that said something about abandoned nuclear sites. Like there was a report that came out, the Union of Concerned Scientists put out a little map of where there was sites that had been abandoned nuclear sites that weren't opened yet. And someone was saying, well, they're not that bad because they're not exposing anything. But when we think about it, think of all the chemicals and all the things that it takes that they may have just left there leaking. It's not just the nuclear contaminants, it's all the contaminants that go into it. It's so off the charts against humanity and against our health. It always stuns me when I look at the complete disregard for life that these technologists have.
I just one of the articles that came out and has gone completely viral on my page this weekend. Dozens of whales dead off of South Florida. Well,
Yeah.
everybody's asking questions, but nobody realizes that Turkey Point nuclear power plant down there outside of Miami
That's
is
right.
leaking just like Fukushima has been.
That's
And they've
right.
been leaking for years. So, and then you got on top of that, you've got articles coming out where the other one that's really got everybody in a rile is that South Florida sits on top of, they're looking at it storing nuclear waste underneath the water aquifer of Florida. Well, they've already contaminated the all of the water down there, so
Well,
now
the
we're seeing that.
EPA actually granted that license. I read that this week. The EPA granted them the license against the wishes of the people, and that the people were fighting that, but the EPA sided on the side, of course, the industry. They are going to let them do whatever they want.
Well, EPA, they don't have to pay for damages to Colorado because Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has announced Friday that the federal law does not require the agency to pay more damages incurred after a massive toxic water spill in Colorado caused by an agency employee. EPA is not mandated under federal law to repay the $1.2 billion to the states affected from the Gold King mine spill that they done.
Right. That was that, just to remind anybody who doesn't remember it, that was that mine spill where it turned the Colorado River like gold, basically. It looks like gold. It still does. And the people are getting sick, very, very, very sick around there. They're like wanting to move. This is the thing. It's not like they are going to pay this to make people rich. They're going to pay people to help them move, help them pay for their medical expenses. It is. it's unconscionable how the EPA, which is really what we call every polluter's advocate, just does nothing to help the American people. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We actually have three leaking nuclear sites in our country. We have the Bridgeton landfill, the Westlake landfill, where it's leaking out there. We have the Indian Point, and we know for a fact that Indian Point and Turkey Point are both leaking. So all along the East Coast is really just so toxic, which is why the products that you provide to people, Chuck, are so instrumental. If everybody even just on a small basis started actually really taking action on this, do you think we could actually make a dent in the harm it's causing?
It would require a massive turn of people listening. But yeah, we can make a difference. We can turn that death rate that the government put in play in 2014 when they changed the death rate from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 23. Yeah, we can turn these numbers around, but we've got to start working on it. We can no longer let the EPA, that doesn't want to do anything but cause us problems, somebody's going to be had to be made accountable.
Well, not just this. You know what my goal is because, like yours is based on science. The conversation we had with Charlotte that I pre-recorded, we played it yesterday. She was talking about scientifically, like how it actually really functions. This is not hidden knowledge. What we need is these agencies and the businesses that actually own these things to take it seriously, the harm they're causing, and pour money into the science to make it so they can really remediate it. Like, I was thinking about this after our last show, Chuck. I think that these nuclear facilities, like all Entergy and all these big people, they ought to be the ones funding and buying your product, and help. You could help them on a large scale really remediate their areas before it went out and contaminated the rest of the country. I mean, have you ever attempted to talk to these big organizations like the Entergy, these energy companies, to show them this product?
Well, here, ironically, everybody knows it's here, and they know what it's going to do. And this article that I'm going to talk about right now, microbes survives vast dose of radiation. Government scientists report that seems to be able to repair damage to itself that won't instantly destroy almost anything else. In a brief paper published in an issue of the journal Science, Dr. Kenneth W. Minton and an assistant, both of the Uniformed Service University of Health Science in, I lost my place in midstream.
Oh, I have it. I have it. It's in Bethesda.
And like I said, you go on and read all of this. Government scientists already know that these microbes do exactly that. And if you scroll down, 1/4 of 99, microbes eat nuclear contamination off of concrete. Scroll on down, then you see natural clean off radioactive soil.
Yeah. One of the sentences in the first paragraph, Chuck sent me this article before the show. I opened it up, and the sentence that stuck out to me was, but almost miraculously, it repairs the damage to its DNA in a matter of hours, reassembling its own chromosomes just the way they were before they were contaminated. This is so amazing. The microbes really do. Now, have you come into contact with people who, in the industry, I'm talking the nuclear industry, who are hesitant to embrace this technology?
Yeah, first off, I've had problems with people within the nuclear industry. They listen to the radio shows, and I get my handed to me, And first off, you'll never get nuclear industry to admit we've got a problem, that it's not as safe as it's supposed to be. Because according to everybody in the nuclear industry, nuclear does nothing wrong. Nobody's died of nuclear.
Right, as they all die of cancer themselves, and their children have heart disease, and they have children with birth defects themselves. They all deny it.
But yeah, that's been my, over the last, well, we're coming up on a 6-year anniversary already. Can you believe that, of Fukushima?
I can't. It's a shock. Actually, this morning, TEPCO came out with a video that showed us just how good and pristine and how much effort they showed all the concrete. They've covered all the grassy areas with concrete to stop the radioactive contamination. And they showed the track that they are preparing for the athletes. They said they're going to start arriving in 2018 to prepare for the Olympics. So we're going to start seeing athletes dying of heart disease, of heart attacks in Fukushima area. I mean, it's bound to happen, Chuck. I mean, let me ask you this. Is it unreasonable for us, from everything that you know, for us to think that that area near Fukushima has been remediated in a way that people could safely live there and safely do athletics and sports in that area?
I've got articles on here where they've been using microbes there at Fukushima. And
so maybe they have remediated it. Maybe they have.
They're working on it. But keep in mind, Lonnie, you and I both know it wasn't just too long ago that they sent robots in there to try and do some more looking. But it's still hot enough, it's killing robots on site.
Wow, yeah.
If it's killing robots, nothing living should be anywhere near it.
Yeah. It's so inhumane. It's just unconscionable. This is why we have these radioactive rates. Now, when I interviewed Dr. Chris Busby, his interview will be coming out next week. I wanted to space it out between Levy's interview. But he and I were talking about the levels of radioactivity coming from Fukushima, and he says it's dramatically smaller. It is much smaller than in the early days because it's been going on 6 years. But it still doesn't make it less contaminating. You know what I mean? Like, we might have lower levels of plutonium, but plutonium is still plutonium. It still kills you. It's still highly toxic.
And it's like, you know, you've seen my page, Lonnie. You know that I do these shows as professional. My page is as professional as I can get. I do not post anything political. Everything on the page deals in contamination and deals in microbes. And what is on my page can be cleaned up with microbes. And, you know, over the years, the last five years, I've had to defend the page against the nuclear. I've had a lot of nuclear gurus come here and just start attacking. And most generally, those that are following the page, and then there's a lot of them out here that don't buy the nuclear propaganda. And a lot of times I can sit back and watch everybody attack the nuclear troll, whatever you want to call it. And I just sit back and laugh.
You know, it's funny that you say your page is not political, because I've heard this so many times, Chuck. People actually consider this issue about radioactivity and attempting to stop these nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons as being a political issue. It's not a political issue. It crosses boundaries. It's a human issue.
It's not what's left or right. It's not what is Democrat, Republican, liberal. It is basically what is morally right or wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's not even like it's communist or, you know, like totalitarian or democratic. It really, it's about being humanitarian. I mean, I know in China, they are having, you know, they're popping up nuclear facilities all over the place, just like in India. The nuclear industry realized that in the United States and in Western Europe, we've pretty much sussed out that it is a failed industry. But they're going over to places that are undeveloped and building nuclear facilities and having severe contamination problems because they don't have, you think we don't have regulations. They have very lax regulations in some of these areas. So it's spreading around the planet. It's unconscionable.
Yeah, this stuff circles the planet every 40 days out of Fukushima. They'd already proved that just, you know, 6 weeks after the implosion 6 years ago. When you look at and you take the old school technology and put it with the new school, what they did was they took an old-fashioned weather balloon, tied the monitors and GPS trackers to it, took it out on the ship south of Japan and turned it loose. And they monitored it. They watched it follow the jet streams, and it was right back there south of Japan 40 days later.
Wow. So in a month and a half, it circles the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's been going on nonstop, 24 hours a day for 6 years almost.
And not to mention the fact that this stuff's been leaking into the ocean at the rate of roughly 300 tons a day.
Yeah. And, you know, ironically, you do say 300. I'm glad to hear you remember that. Their new number, you know, is now 100,000. That's all they claim now.
Well.
But it's not 100,000. And also the corium is poured into the Pacific Ocean. The melted fuel rods. They don't... Like they in their little video this morning, they said, well, we've taken all the fuel rods out of number four, unit number four. We've effectively...
Well, they never had any fuel rods left in it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So it's beyond unconscionable that the Japanese government is willing to murder its own people, its own children. I mean, I do not comprehend how this can benefit anyone.
It isn't just Japan. Look what this administration's done for the last 8 years, the six years of Japan.
Well, so look what, I mean, they've completely denied. I mean, it's that famous thing. Barack Obama came out and said, we have reason to believe we're all perfectly safe, which I believed him completely. And then he took a 3-week trip down south to South America just for good measure, I suppose. You know what I mean? It's going to be...
You believed it, but yet when he came out on that news brief just days after and publicly announced that's Japan, we'll never see any effects of it here in America, I just like to, I went ballistic.
You did.
Because I knew how this planet you know, how this planet works. What goes up must come down. It's called gravity. The planet goes around and around. We've got a jet stream. It was here in the middle of the United States 18 to 20 days after the implosion. They were already finding it in the milk with the milk producers right here in the middle of the country.
Wow. Well, there's still plenty of people who eat milk, eat dairy, eat cheese, eat butter. I mean, it's still, you know, they're going after. Did you see that current report that says the fish up in Alaska do not have any radioactivity in them? So it's all a go. Just eat your fish. Go right ahead. It's and it really gets down to money, doesn't it, Chuck? They don't want the big business to have to take a dent in any way. As long as they keep making money, they don't care how many people die or what it does to our environment.
Yeah, just like to look at up there, Toronto. They're wanting to put that nuclear waste facility right there off the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
And now they're wanting to do the same thing down there in Florida.
Yeah.
And there's talks about doing it down there in Texas.
Well, they are going to do it in Florida. The NRC gave them the license this week. That has been approved, period. So that is going to happen. It's unconscionable, but it is. Now, they're still resisting in the Great Lakes. There's the senators in those states are fighting it. They are fighting it. So that's a good thing. At least we have some people fighting it. But it's this huge, it's like what I said to Dr. Busby. I was, you know, when we think about it, all these people have been engaged in this I've only done it a few years. You've been involved in it 6 years. He's been fighting this. Dr. Caldicott's been fighting it 40, 50, 60 years, 50 years, some of these people. And the nuclear industry doesn't give a darn about what we want. They just roll over us no matter what comes out, they continue. And it all goes back to the nuclear industry is an arm of the industrial military complex. They want these things for war. They want them. It's part of it. We're now selling depleted uranium weapons as standard fare.
Like I said, when you look at the ongoings for the last couple of years, the biggest one that was an uprising was the Bundys up there in Oregon. And that one was also one of the gentlemen involved in that deal. He was trying to report on the truth of Fukushima. Lavoie Finucane had him come in for that one. But that whole mountaintop, the reason why all those ranchers got run off of that property, and it was designated a national monument or whatever.
The owl reserve where
The
Lavoie Finucane went, is that what you're talking about?
reservation. The reason for that mountaintop being taken away and being reserved was that mountaintop was full of uranium. The minerals that's in that mountaintop is
Wow.
what created all of that.
Well, you know what's interesting about this is I actually just recently saw this. There was a, I'm sorry, I actually made a screenshot of it, so I was looking for it. I was looking for just to, I was talking with my friend Ed, and we were like, well, I wonder what Superfund sites we have here in Oregon, right? So I went to, we just looked in Oregon. This is what we found. I couldn't believe it. It's off of in Lake County. It's called Wyking and Lucky Lass Uranium Mines. This is what it says. It was I about fell off my chair. Listen to the time frames here. It's just a few sentences. The Wyking and Lucky Lass uranium mines operated from the mid-1950s to the mid-60s in the Fremont National Forest northwest of Lakeview. The U.S. Forest Service began investigating the site in 1989. They waited till 89 to see if there was any cleanup needed. Stockpiles of overburden and protor, which is rock and soil and had uranium mixed in it, have been left behind. A stockpile contained over 1.1 million cubic yards of material and exceeds standard regulatory standards for arsenic, radium-226, and uranium. The open mining pits had filled with acidic water and contained levels of radioactive materials, arsenic, manganese, and sulfates. They started cleaning it up. After 89, they only went back in 2004. And what they do, their plan is every 20 years, they built trenches so that it's at the top of a mountain, right? So they built a trench so that the overflow would start forming this big, if you look on the map, you can see it, there's a big lake of radioactive contamination. It's an open uranium mine right in the middle of the Oregon forest. Just any, and there's trails and hiking trails all around there. Anybody can get all around there.
And then you stop and look at the wildlife, and then
Oh.
the hunters that go in there and eat that contaminated food, and that's how this starts. Now the fact that the government, the administration, I've been dealing with now for 6 years with this. They changed the radiation safety limits several times over, but 27,000 time increase and changed acceptable death rate, and then just this last June, they increased the radiation safety limits in our drinking water by another 3,000%.
Well, the
And
NRC also increased. This is a hilarious thing that they did. I mean, it's funny that they did it, but in the event of a nuclear meltdown, they're going to raise the acceptable levels. Like for iodine 131, it's going to be raised 83,000%. So until the emergency
Their
is
key
over, then
words,
they bring them back
Lonnie,
down.
their key words on that, in the case of a nuclear event.
Right.
We've
That's
already
right.
had a nuclear event.
Well, they're talking
Fukushima.
about. Excuse me?
Fukushima put Canada and the United States dead center in what they called a kill zone because we are the first land masses of Fukushima,
It's true.
putting us the kill zone.
I don't argue with you on that. That's actually very true, Chuck, which is why you and I are paying attention to this and attempting to get people to take some action to remediate it, because there are some solutions that we're not using.
And that's
Doesn't
why I
sound.
got involved in this fight 6 years ago. Because in the articles from everything 6 years ago that you can't find now unless you go back 6 years on my page, and whether or not Facebook actually let them stay there, I don't know. But the kill zone talked about crop failure, drought. Come on, folks. Everything we've experienced from the fall of Fukushima, that very year of Fukushima, later that year, that fall is when the drought started in California and came across to the plains. There's so much radiation in the atmosphere, it's burning off the chances of moisture, creating the drought, crop failure. And if we don't step up and do something now and start turning our soil around and protecting our investment and start using these microbes, that article says that we could very well turn into a third world country that cannot grow anything.
Yeah, well, it's coming. It looks like it's about to come. I mean, to be honest, they're not taking it very seriously. Like, look what's happening. There was a documentary that was played. I couldn't believe it on PBS here. It's called Earth Crying, Rising Up, and it's about the abandoned uranium mines in Wyoming and how they're growing, but food there is not edible. How the children are getting sick, how these lands are getting contaminated, and yet these big industries and the government are doing nothing but protect them and protect them. It's
Here's the ideology behind that. We're going to start seeing documentaries. We're going to start seeing different things. And all of these articles that come out on all of these issues tell us the same thing. No health concerns, no side effects. We don't see. Well, the problem is, it's compounding. We know it. It's starting to hit the news, and they keep telling everybody they started the programming with their propaganda. They started the self-programming that this is safe, we don't have any issues.
That started in the 50s, by the way. That's
And
really.
now they've got everybody so deprogrammed. And this is where I started to talk about a little while ago about my page. I had somebody come on my page Saturday, and he started his propaganda trying to tell us that, trying to get me to admit that the half-lives of all of these things are thousands of years. And I did. I told him, I said, if we do nothing. And he did not understand that. And I told him the microbes change that if we work with them. The microbes will clean this up. And then he started trying to prolong and tell me that I did not know what my business was. The microbes don't do this. And this went on and on and on. And I finally, I made
Are you saying
several
that
long.
someone came on your, excuse me, someone came on your page and was arguing with you that microbes did not remediate the soil from radioactivity?
And he went back through the page on all of the microbial articles and said, and tried to say this was a scam and that I was just trying to, and I went ballistic. I said, I can lead a horse to water, but I cannot make a horse drink. I can lead people to news articles. I says, problem is, we've got so many people that are programmed to think one way. And I said, quite frankly, I cannot fix stupid. I said, I can lead you to the article, but if you're so stupid you cannot read and make up your own mind, I says, explanation programmed. If you cannot figure out how to think for yourself and unprogram the programming, as there is no help for you.
So what the issue was, he was thinking that you were just doing this to make a buck off of people, that it was just a scam, that that really there's, I mean, was he like a death and doomer that it's all over with, that we not need to just like chalk it all up and go live in a cave or something?
I've had several people make comments, just dig a hole and line the cave with lead and wait to die. Well, do what you want. I'm not.
Well, I don't believe it. See, I think that the idea that I've learned about these microbes from everything I've seen, and I've actually seen it work in my own backyard, it really does work. And I mean, the hardest part about finding out about the nuclear contamination is we don't really have any sources for us locally. We have to take the government's wet sources. Or in, and there's no place like we, there's no place where we can just go get our food tested, for example. It's extremely expensive if you grow your own garden food. Gee, I wonder what's, you know, are my beets contaminated, especially your root foods that grow in the ground, like your potatoes, are they contaminated? We have no way to test them in our country. There is not a place where we can go to get that tested. That leaves people to just check out, I think, emotionally, Chuck. They just can't handle it.
Well, ultimately, my end goal is if we can ever get enough funding or get things going enough, I wanted to be able to up and down the plain states here where we grow so much agriculture here that I want to be able to go out on sites in these fields and do the case studies right there, or bring them back to a lab. I want to be able to put a lab right here that's not government-funded.
Right.
And I want, we need to set up a lab and start doing the documentation. And doing it ourselves. Because we're not going to be able to trust the government.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not even just not trusting the government. The government doesn't do it. They actually refuse to do it. That's the shocking part. They refuse to do it.
Well, ironically, you know, I talked to a few people, you know, because I do get out here in my home state. And when we started seeing some different things and I started asking different questions, especially when the mutation of the baby calves last spring, a year, you know, I learned that there was a study done off of the west line of the state coming off of the Rockies. They did do white pod testing where they bring in big pods and do air gathering and they tested for radiation. The government did right here in Kansas. The pods disappeared and there was never no results published.
You're kidding. Wow.
So my question to you all that are listening, if you've got mutation in baby calves, you got white pods showing up and there are no publication of results, what would you assume? We already know the answer. We've got mutated calves.
Wow. Wow. So we are seeing, you're telling me that across the Midwest where people are having farms, that they're seeing mutated calves on a regular basis?
I found just by talking to people, and I'm not talking about a lot of people, it just hit and miss. I found three baby calves born in the western half of Kansas last spring, two with two heads and one with two noses.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there was one born here in Oregon, too, last year. There was actually, that
right.
was on the news. That was that made the news here.
And then you look at the fact that we've got two-headed baby snapping turtles. We got two-headed snakes. We had an hour from here in another town where a family's house cat had kittens, and one of the kittens had two sets of ears. It had 4 ears. Come on.
Those
you start
just...
adding all of this up, and people need to really pay attention.
Yeah, you were right about that. That's exactly right. Like, you know, your attitude is like, come on, this is ridiculous. You're absolutely right. People just refuse to even pay attention to it. They're just totally refusing to even look at it. And that, again, is because they're so afraid that they don't believe that there's any solutions. It just seems so simple that Mother Earth has the ideas, the answers. I think that's really the thing. We have been brainwashed to believe that only the nuclear scientists understand this, and we're too stupid and too uneducated to really comprehend it. But I think that's part of the resistance, Chuck.
Now, the other thing, everybody, and I stress this all the time, when you get into the microbial world and you start looking at the different things, the key to everything is you got to look for natural. And you got to look at your species counts, your family counts. And then the biggest thing is we do not need no more GMO anything.
Right.
And there is an extremely large amount of genetically modified organisms, not only in our food, but in our microbes. They are building microbes to do just oil cleanup, like they tried to put microbes down there in the Gulf Coast with the BP. They did a release of genetically altered microbes just for things in the Gulf Coast. When you play with genetics, you don't know the backlash of the genetically altered organism. And I truly feel that when you play with genetics, you're playing in a field that is not your God-given right in the first place. And then when you release genetically altered organisms up and down the Gulf Coast, and then you start seeing all of these people with flesh-eating bacteria, brain-eating bacteria, where in the world did we come up with an organism that was designed to eat fish or eat flesh and brain? That is a genetically altered organism. It was specifically designed to attack one particular thing. How far did they go with the genetically altered organisms in that Gulf Coast? We will never know. That's why I run 125 different species of naturally, beneficially reoccurring microbes.
Well, I'm really glad I got your microbes before the big freeze, but I do want to remind people, because I made the big mistake, I left my microbes outside and they got frozen. So now I sort of wasted I had one application on it. I was waiting for a few weeks to put it on again. And I just left it out in my shed in my garden, and it got frozen. I didn't even think about it until I was looking at my shed, had like 2 feet of snow in front of it, and I was clearing it out, and I got in there to get something out of there, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I bet you I froze. Now, Chuck tells me that there's nutrients that I can still pour that on my garden, but
all right.
So... we have to kind of learn how to do this, and there's going to be a learning curve, and we have to be kind of gentle with ourselves on this, but it's definitely, you know, I'm grateful that I put that on there because my plants are surviving the freeze, and I didn't have anything over them. So I think that that helped a lot, Chuck. I will tell you that. I do believe it helped them.
What was your growth spurt with them? You know, you've grown your fruit, your veggies there before. And
they just pop up. Like they grew, like boing, they doubled in size within the first week and then week and a half or so. They just like started growing. And then we got the freeze and we've had nothing. Like my garden is still covered with a bit of snow and frozen snow on top of it. And so it's coming out though. It's beginning to warm up here. Today I think it'll get up to 45. So soon we should see what the net result will be. But I think they look like they're alive. They don't look like they're dead at all. They don't look like they've frozen.
So we got you started.
Yeah, and
Good.
thank you. I really want to thank you for that. So Chuck, why don't you tell our listeners how to find you and where to go and what how to get in touch with you?
The easiest way is Mid-America Land Restoration via Facebook. On Mid-America Land Restoration on Facebook, you will find all of the news that Big Brother don't want you to know about. You'll find the RAD numbers. You'll find all of the articles. The main website, the business website, is www.midamericalandrestore.com. No news there, just business information of what the microbes are and a very large breakdown of the different areas that we do things with the microbes. And then if you want to hit the contact page on the main website, there's a direct email button or phone numbers, and over there on Facebook, you can hit the message button and send me a message, and I will get back to you indirectly.
Okay, well, that's really awesome, Chuck. Thank you for being available to people. And actually, as a customer of yours, I will tell you that you do really provide good support. So the support that he provides is good. Anytime you want to ask him a question, he's definitely available to you. Because for those of us who are sort of new at this, it's all kind of fuzzy. Many Americans are just not natural gardeners or farmers, and we're having to relearn these skills. And learning how to use these microbes is extremely vital, especially now with the level of contaminations that we're being bombarded with on a, especially on the East Coast. I would say that really the East Coast is, we're very heavily hit though too. I mean, I have to say on the West Coast, we're very heavily hit, but I think it has to do with the accumulation, like all of the nuclear power facilities, all the nuclear processing facilities, all the leaks, everything, and it's been going on for years. Like the Westlake landfill has been going on for years and years, and it's contaminating, the Carlsbad thing. It's really
Well,
sad.
what everybody, Lonnie, the biggest thing everybody's got to realize, these power plants were built a long time ago. They've already exceeded their life expectancy. The plumbing in these things, these power plants are overworked. They're out of safety date. They keep passing and raising these extensions on their safety levels to keep these things open and in business, but they're all leaking. You can go to Google search leaking nuclear reactors in the United States, and you start glancing through those articles, and you'll find out that 75 to 85% of the
That's right.
nuclear reactors in this country are leaking.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. That's right. That's the new number. They found that out last year. 75 to 80%. They found that out when they started looking because of the lead. And this is the other point. Even if we were to shut them all down tomorrow, they're still going to be leaking. They still have huge issues that we don't know how to fix because the nuclear industry has not spent any money at all attempting to figure out how to resolve the issue. They spend billions of dollars on lobbyists so that people will ignore it, but nothing on fixing the issue. And what, frankly, what you have, what your product is a huge part of the solution.
Guess what, Lonnie? There is no chemicals. There is nothing on this planet except the natural microbes that are here capable of combating radiation. You can do all the searches all you want. the only thing that's here on this planet at our disposal that can combat radiation, to keep us going, keep our soils going and our water going, are the microbes.
Well, maybe that's a point of action that we can take, Chuck. Maybe we can urge people to contact the energy department, contact our elected officials that are sitting on the energy committees and say, look, we have answers and we expect our government to start investing in microbes.
Can't invest in nature. They won't make no money in it.
Yeah, well,
that's why it's not on the market exchange. If it's not on the market exchange where people can invest, they're not going to listen. It's always been and always will be about the dollar. If they cannot invest in the dollar on the market exchange, they're not going to listen. That's why Monsanto a few years back started playing with the microbes, and they're going to do it with genetically altered microbes to where they can have a patent and put it on the market exchange. Because you cannot patent nature. It's not on the market exchange. They're not going to allow it, and you're not going to see anything of it because they cannot make any money with it.
That's really fundamentally why, Chuck, because they can't patent nature. That's the fundamental sentence there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that's why Monsanto's playing with it, with the genetics. And that's why I keep telling everybody, pay attention to what you're looking at. Read what you're reading. You do not want the word specific, lab, genetics. You don't want any of this in a product you are buying for yourself.
So if you're buying a micro product and it says specific, you want to not buy that product?
Right. Okay. You've got to look for keywords.
Okay.
And natural, beneficial, reoccurring, those are your natural lines.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know, because for somebody like myself who has no idea, really, just knowing those few things to look for, I don't have to understand the science. I trust what you're saying enough to believe you that I will look for those words, because it does matter. Because people may be buying genetically modified microbes without even knowing they're doing it.
Exactly. Now, one of the biggest things I want everybody to realize, and I've got a buddy of mine that keeps trying to push me his way with what they're doing with their microbes. The thing I want everybody to understand, microbes have to have air. They're breathing. They're a live organism. You breathe. You digest. If you were put into a compressed can and sealed off in a compressed aerosol can, how are you going to survive?
That's right.
Microbes, natural microbes, are not in an aerosol can.
Well, thank you for that, Chuck. Well, look, we have about 40 seconds. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you'll come back in 5 to 6 weeks and join us again. And maybe we can talk about some of the things that maybe we can move forward with our new government that's coming in and put pressure on them, because I think you do have a lot of really the great answers. So thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark of the Age of Fission Radio Show and Chuck Heidman, my guest from Mid-America Land Restoration. You can find him on Facebook, and please do get in touch. Join us again. Put your courage feet on, and thanks a lot, Chuck, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.